First session of the new year. So thank you everyone for coming to join us. We're going to kick off this year's session talking about probationary period. So we're carrying on the life cycle. So just before the end of last year, Adrienne was talking to you about restricted covenants. And then Peter and I spoke to you about all of the important things you need to remember about employment contracts. So we're still on the beginning of the life cycle on hiring, and we're now on the very topical subject of probationary periods. So we'll just wait for a few more of you to come in, and then we will kick off. Lovely. So should we get started, Adrienne?
Yeah, let's go for it.
So probationary periods. I'm going to be a bit controversial here, and I'm going to say I don't actually think that they're very effective. And I know Adrienne disagrees with me, so we're going to have a little bit of a debate here. And the reason why I say that is because I think, what's the point in having something, label something that you should already be doing anyway? So realistically, let's say you're going to take on a new hire. I think it's really important for you to be reviewing that person regularly anyway, regardless of whether or not you have a probationary period. So for me, I think the main thing that you should be doing on a regular basis, whether that's monthly, I definitely think you should be doing it probably more regularly than for somebody who's just joined your business. You should be reviewing their work perhaps every week or having one-to-ones. What's really the point in having a probationary period? I mean, I'm going to say that, Adrian. What do, I know you don't agree with me.
Controversial. No, I don't. I probably don't agree with you. However, I think, well, I'll tell you why I don't agree with you, and I'll tell you why I do like probationary periods. And guys, if you want to add your comments in the Q&A function, you know, you join in the debate, that's absolutely fine. Perhaps, you know, Verity and I will have a, you know, punch up over this on another day. But I think there's a couple of reasons why I like them. First of all, mainly, it sends a message to your new recruit. Now, I know that Verity would probably say, well, they should be doing this anyway, but surely, if you're in your probationary period, you know you've got to bring your A game, right? Because you know that your employment isn't certain, it's not finalised. This is your opportunity to prove yourself. And, you know, if you're a decent employee, it shouldn't be a problem, and you'll have your A game on throughout your whole employment. But I think it's quite good in terms of telling people, you know, you're not home free yet, love. This is like an extended interview, if you like. So that's one reason. It's about messaging to the individual. But I also think it can be useful, and this will probably be what we'll go on and talk about, provided it's used properly. And it is a really good opportunity for you to look at them, see if they're up to doing the job, to check whether your recruitment processes have worked and whether they're right for your organisation, not just in terms of their skill set, but whether or not they can settle down and work with everybody. So to that extent, that's why I'm a fan. Legally speaking, of course, one of the biggest reasons why you'd have a probationary period is enable you to have a shorter notice period in the event that it all goes a bit Pete Tong and you can get rid of them. So I think if you're recruiting people who might typically be on a 3-month notice period, for example, that's why I think a probationary period can come in useful, because you, during that period, you can have that shorter notice period to enable you to get rid of them more quickly. Just a word of warning, though, that short notice period will also apply to the employee. So if they want out quickly during their probationary period, that's the notice that they have to give you too. So Verity, there you go. Do your best.
I see where you're coming from. I think probably from my perspective, I just see them getting probably not abused, that's not the right word, or just not really used properly. I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? And I think over the last couple of weeks or months, I've definitely seen an increase in probationary period abuse. And that's what I'm going to call it. Because, I mean, I don't know what you think.
The Equality Act.
I don't know. I've just made it up, but... Good. I think, you know, there's been so much movement in the market, hasn't there, recently in the last couple of months, with people moving. So I'm seeing a lot of people asking questions about probationary periods. And obviously it's New Job January. That's the new lingo I learned the other day, actually, New Job January, where you take on new hires in January. I do think this is an important subject. I think the issue that I'm finding with clients is that the remote working and management of new hires is quite a tricky area. isn't it? I think it's okay. You know, I think most people have got into the swing of things of managing people remotely, you know, existing employees, but taking on someone completely remotely and then managing them remotely, I found that clients are finding that quite hard. And so that's where they're coming a bit unstuck with probationary periods, because they're leaving these people for quite long periods of time without reviewing them, let's say 2 or 3 months. And then after 2 or 3 months, realizing, you know, they're not that great. Oh, I'm just going to extend the probationary period. So this is where I see a lot of things happening. I see a lot of extensions of probationary periods. And I think one thing about using a probationary period effectively is to really try and, like Adrienne said, you're going to know, let's be honest, whether or not that person's doing a good job. Realistically, I would say by 3 months, aren't you? So yeah. I think in that time period is probably the best thing, rather than rolling it on. I saw one the other day being rolled on to 9 months. And I think flip it the other side, actually. And this is what I said to the client. Imagine being that person on a probationary period for 9 months. I mean, that's a lot of uncertainty, isn't it, for that person? And it can't be nice to be put under the spotlight like that. So I think using them effectively in shorter periods of time is actually probably the best way to do it. For me,
I think it's quite interesting. I'm going to bring in a comment here that's been posted in the Q&A box, because I think it's a really good one. Whoever's posted this, thank you very much. But it says the employee could go off their A game after 6 months. Absolutely. I agree regarding recruitment process. Is it fair on the employee if our recruitment process is not up to scratch and the wrong person is employed? No, exactly. And that's why I think the probationary period in that sense is quite good, because it is the opportunity for both sides. And this has got to be remembered as well. It's not just for the employer to check. It's for the employee to go, is this the right place for me? So to that extent, I think it's useful. I mean, obviously, if employees, their performance dips after the probationary period, which you hope wouldn't happen, but it does. I mean, but let's face it, performance can dip after 2 years, after 10 years. And it's coming back to the point you made about management. You know, maybe if we're having, you know, new job, new January, we can have a new January, new management process for remote management, because it is really difficult, but it is really important. And you know, this is the chance perhaps for managers to start off on the right foot with their employees and make sure that that, you know, they are being supportive. And after all, management isn't just about checking whether they're doing their job properly. It's about being supportive, making sure that the remote working employee knows what the hell is going on in the organization. Because, you know, I'm going completely off topic now, but this is the problem with remote working when somebody's starting, is those questions that your new joiner might ask the person sitting next to them can't be asked. It's much more difficult, and that's why a bit more proactive management's needed.
So hard.
It must be really difficult
to be a newbie. But you've raised a really interesting point there, and it's actually something that I've been doing and I've got planned for the new year, is management training. I think that sometimes being a manager, you forget the importance of management and regular reviews and keeping people updated, because let's be honest, lots of teams are very lean at the moment. You know, managers are under a lot of pressure, people have got a lot of work on. I mean, I'm finding everybody just saying to me all the time, I'm so busy, that you tend to forget that management aspect. You know, are you okay, is everything all right? And I think trying to remind managers and perhaps giving them some training on the very sort of very, you know, sort of not straightforward, but go back to basics, like how to manage someone effectively. And I think it's really important to remind managers to do that, because of all the things we talk about, you know, being busy, being lean and all of that stuff. And that will then hopefully have a knock-on effect to any new hires you take on, so that they feel that they're supported. And like you said, you know, the question was, it's a two-way game. It is absolutely a two-way game. And I found, you know, when advising clients, so commonly over the last couple of months, that they say, you know, it's just not working out. They're just not suitable to the job. And I think I often find that having that frank conversation with that person, and don't forget, most of the time we're talking about people with less than 2 years service. So as long as there's none of those red flag issues to do with like discrimination or whistleblowing, anything like that, we're purely talking about someone not being suitable for their job. You don't have to go through the full process, but I do think it's good ER practice, employee relations practice, to sit down with that person and say, look, I'm going to be honest with you, it's just not working out. You know, you're not suitable well, we told you, we've tried to support you, but it's not worked out. And I think having that frank conversation sometimes is really important. And then you sort of part ways, but, and there's nothing wrong with you doing that. Whether you have a probationary period or not, or whether you've gone past the probationary period, whether you're in 6 months, 9 months, you know, 14 months. I think that's really important. I think for me, those are the issues. I mean, you mentioned earlier about notice periods. One of the common issues we see quite a lot, isn't it, Adrian, where people have a probationary period, but they don't then talk about the extended notice period and what it is.
Yeah. So I think it's really, to that extent, I mean, maybe we'll come on to that in a minute in terms of drafting of probationary periods, but I just wanted to pick up on, you know, looking at, if you are going to have a probationary period, how are you going to make best use of it? So, I mean, I think when we were talking about the support through a probationary period, I think this is really important. So when we draft contracts now, it's kind of almost become standard practice to put in a 6 month probationary period, but it may be for your organization that you don't need one that long. So one of the things I think as a business you need to think about is, in reality, and taking into consideration whether or not you are bringing people on board remotely, is how long do these people need to be trained on your systems, you know, with their colleagues, before you can really see what they're actually doing? Because, you know, it may be you've got no systems, it may be you've got really complicated systems that might take a month, for example, for the employee to properly get to grips with before they can do anything. So in that sense, you might need a 6 month probationary period, because you need to give them that chance to get to grips with the business before they can actually show what they're doing. If, however, you only need a 3 month probationary period, then have a 3 month probationary period, but make sure you use it well. And this is coming back to the point that Verity was just talking about, regular reviews. It doesn't have to be scary, it's just a catch up. You know, think about, perhaps again, if you, particularly for remote working, do you have somebody else in your team that you can buddy them up with, you know, so that they can ask the stupid questions. Where do I find this file? What do I do this? You know, it used to be, where do I find a pen? Where do I find staples? Obviously in this remote world, things have changed. So, you know, buddy them up, give them that support, have those regular check-ins, making sure that the messaging is not just about, we're here to monitor your performance, but we're here to give you the support. We want you to be successful. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think, you know, you touched on a really important point there about teamwork and dynamic, which is one of the questions that someone's just raised and said, look, in the remote working world, it is actually really difficult to assess how they work together with the team because it's remotely. And I think you raised a really interesting point about maybe team buddying up. Mm. I think when you have a new hire, I think proactively as a manager, encouraging your team to work with the new person, whether that be on a project or perhaps delegating them a piece of work, so that you all get to use that person and get to know them, so that you know whether or not they're the right fit. I think so often it's quite common for managers to take the responsibility of training that person, and then, you know, you don't actually have access to them perhaps until maybe a couple of weeks after. So I think trying to expose them to the business and the team as early as possible and get them involved, and maybe doing like team buddying like Adrienne suggests, will give you that exposure straight away, and you can get your team involved, knowing whether or not actually this person suits the business. I think that's a good way of doing it.
What about extending it then? What's your views on whether or not you should extend?
We might
be controversial here.
Oh, just don't bloody use one at all. But anyway, different story. Extending. I think the thing with extending is like what you said, genuinely, after the 3 months, if you feel like you haven't got enough time, or perhaps for your business, it's not suitable to appraise them in that 3 month period and you need much longer, then absolutely extend it, because you can take advantage, like Adrienne said, of that shorter notice period. But you have to be very, very careful in your wording that you do say in your contract that during the extended probationary period, the shorter notice period will apply as well. Because what you don't want is an argument that someone says, if you dismiss them in the extended period, that I'm entitled to 3 months notice. So just be very careful about your wording in your contracts, and perhaps tweak that for future reference. But I don't have a problem with extending, but I just think they have to be used effectively. I think it's a bit lazy to extend if you just, you know, you don't really know what else to do with them, because they're not really good at their job. So just extend their notice period. I think that's not really going to get you what you want to do. That's not really solving the problem, is it?
I've got a couple of, HR contacts that I work with really regularly, and they, as a general rule, will not allow managers to extend probationary periods unless there are really extenuating circumstances. So their point is, we've got a probationary period. That's the period to test them. You should know if they're doing a good job in that period. If the answer is they're not doing a good job in that period, then they're not going to do a good job is the starting point, unless, and this is where they get their managers to sort of almost sort of present the case. It's like, why do you want to extend? If it's a case of, we didn't get a laptop to them in time, just using a really silly example, I'd hope to God that isn't the case. Otherwise, somebody's had a jolly nice time being paid without doing any work, or the system was broken, or, anything like that would be a reason to extend. Also, of course, if somebody's been off sick or they might have had things, the discrimination categories, they might have been off sick, they might have had childcare issues, all of which would have impacted it. And to sort of like take negative action off the back of that then exposes the company to risk. But if it's a just case of, well, I'm really not sure, then, that's when my HR contacts take quite a firm view and saying, coming back to the point, which is if this is their opportunity where they've been, they know they're under the spotlight, they should be bringing their A game, they're still not delivering, then it ain't going to happen. And you're kicking the can down the road for having to follow a performance management process. And to be fair, I have seen this played out in a couple of tribunal claims where, somebody's come to me and said, we want to manage their performance after 2 or 3 years. And, they weren't really any good from day one, but we didn't really do anything about it.
Oh, so common.
Yeah, it's really common. It's really common. So I guess in a brutal world, it's a message to the manager of, you need to make a decision here about whether or not you're creating a problem further down the line.
I think if you're going to do that approach, you really have to have your managers on the ball and really having them present. Because what do you think about, say you have someone who's been there 3 months, let's be honest, manager hasn't had time to appraise them, it's been Christmas, they've been busy, they haven't got any documents saying that they're not very good at what they've been doing because they haven't really been doing regular reviews. Would you think it'd be fair to come to the end of the probationary period and say, it's not working out?
No, absolutely not. And there's one of the examples of two things that would happen if I were in that business. I'd be saying, this isn't fair on that person. They've not been given fair crack to have a go. And second of all, I'd be putting the manager on some training because it's not fair. It's created an issue, not through the fault of the new recruit. But this is, again, coming back to the buddying system, not only is that supportive to the employee, it takes some of the weight off the manager's plate and also gives the company some data to feed back on the performance of that person. Because the buddy will be able to say to the manager, they're doing a good job, or they're absolutely useless. And they, I've told them the same thing 10 times and never going to get it. And the manager then has had very little to do other than to, catch up with the buddy. Potentially to get that data that they need. I don't know.
Interesting. I mean, I'd quite like to know from anybody, when you get to the end of your probationary period, do you actually say anything to your staff? Do you say you've passed your probationary period, or do you just crack on? Because that's another thing, isn't it, Adrienne, which I think is quite important.
Yeah, you always got to go back and have a look at the wording in your contracts. I mean, probationary periods clauses are written in very different ways, which is, the first 3 months will be your probationary period and that's it. Some say we have the right to extend, and some say we have the right to extend for a further period of time. And some say you will only have passed your probationary period if we write and tell you. So the inference being is that until that happens, you're still in your probationary period. So, I think it's really important to go back and look what it says in your contract and then do what it says. I did have one recently for a company who it did say that in the contract. They didn't write to the employee. 6 months down the line, the employee left to go to a competitor and said, well, you didn't write to tell me my probationary period had ended. I'm still in it. Here's a week's notice. Bye. so it can come back to meet you. But we're getting some nice comments in here saying, we have a confirmation letter, which is great. Yeah. It's also a nice message to give to them, isn't it, as well, which is, thanks for your efforts. Well done. Right, on we go.
I think so. I think it is good. It's a good employment relations, really, to sort of say, well done, off you go. And also, don't forget, a lot of companies tie in benefits as well to probationary periods, don't they? So they say, after your probationary period, you tend to then be eligible for certain benefits, which I think is quite, someone said that as well, Linda. Thanks, Linda. Yeah. So that's a good message as well. So I think those are my thoughts on probationary. You might have swayed me. I don't know, Adrienne.
There we go. I think for me, the biggest issue is the notice period and possibly the benefits issue. Because as I say, if you've got a long notice period, like 3 months, and something doesn't work out, the worst thing you want to do is, oh, brilliant, we just recruited somebody that absolutely crap. We've now got to pay them in lieu of 3 months' notice. That in particular, I would suggest, would be a good point to have a probationary period. What about that, when we're talking about notice periods, though, what about senior hires? You know, you've gone to a headhunter, you're looking for an SL team member, all the rest of it. Do you really want to put your, you know, future, your proposed CFO on a probationary period? What about that?
I know, I'm going to be honest, with those types of senior contracts, I don't tend to see them in there.
I agree.
I think you don't see them in there. I mean, the thing about the notice period, which you just raised, you know, the shorter notice period, I have seen before where they haven't had a probationary period, but you have got a shorter notice period. So you've got the statutory period for the first year, and then you revert to the full 3 months afterwards. So
that I'd argue that's a backdoor probationary period.
Yeah. Not drafted by me, just to let everybody know that, but I have seen that. I think it's down to business. But at the end of the day, I think the key point, takeaway points for me would be, if you're going to have them, use them effectively. Management training, I think, is massive. Actually, I think that's probably the biggest one at the moment, is get your managers trained up. And with all this remote working malarkey, just really try and involve everybody together as a team, and, you know, buddy up, get them to, I mean, asking them for review as well, regularly, maybe 360 after the 3 months, ask your team for 360 review so that you can provide that information to that person, obviously, hopefully, once they've been involved in the team. But I think those are the biggest takeaways as well. And also check your contract for your extended period.
I would agree. Yeah. I haven't got anything to add to that. Just one interesting point someone's just confirmed, coming back to the senior hires, which I think is absolutely right. Most senior hires are going to say, get lost when it comes to a probationary period.
A senior guy asked me to review his contract and it had a probation period, and I said, no thanks, my love.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm just going to come back to one point on the benefits issue, and I think I'm right in saying this, but say, for instance, you've got a probationary period of 6 months and you say that your benefits kick in. I think the only thing you've got to be a bit wary of is the auto-enrollment on the pension, because you can only delay it for 3 months. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 3 months and you have to enroll them. Yeah. Because otherwise I think it's a breach, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, exactly.
And that's the only one, I think.
Anything else is fine. Yeah, and I've seen people say you can have, you know, things like private medical after a year of employment, for example. So there's no limitation on that. That's fine. No.
Cool. Oh, here you go. One more right. If they're workers, however, they do not have those rights. Thing is, it depends what type of worker they are. So if they're an employee, then they'll have the rights to certain benefits like most others. But if they're a worker, they do still have rights to things like obviously holiday and statutory, but they don't technically have rights to other benefits if you don't want them to. So benefits that you would give other people, like PMI, and also you don't really want to give them benefits, because otherwise you get into the argument of employment status, which is another topic for another day. But yes, just in terms of worker, depends if you're talking about an employee worker or a worker with no employment rights.
Gotta love that gray status in the middle between self-employed and employee. As you said, that's definitely a conversation for another day.
It is. It definitely is. Anyway, lovely to see you all, and hope you enjoyed today's session. We'll be back next week with another fabulous topic. I actually don't know what it is, so that's probably a bit of a boo-boo from us, but we'll definitely send it out. So have a good rest of the week, everybody, and lovely talking to you, Adrienne.
No problem. Happy New Year, everybody.
See you soon.
Bye.